name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Cries of Hosanna and Alleluia were given to Christ as he entered the city of Jerusalem. But the Alleluia that comes forth from the heart reveals what we love. It reveals what we rejoice at. It reveals what we desire more than anything else. And as in any crowd, when some shout goes up, there are many who don't understand what exactly is being cried out and the reasons why it is being cried out. There is great confusion amongst the crowds of those who cried out Hosanna and Alleluia to Christ as he entered the holy city of Jerusalem. It is a confusing display that shows itself to us with the crowd gathered around him. Christ himself is the only still point in all of that confusion, in all of that chaos. If this were a man who was coming to be greeted as the king of this world in a worldly sense, what we mean when we call Satan the prince of this world, then everything would be clear. The Jews were hoping for deliverance from the Romans. They were hoping for a worldly king. They were hoping for gratification and fulfillment of worldly things. As unfortunately, it may be that some of us are hoping for after finally the long fast and the Holy Week is over and the fast ends. And it may be that the fast has sharpened our appetite for the things of the world rather than sharpening our appetite for the things of God, as it is meant to do in preparation so that we can celebrate the greatest feast of all, the feast of Holy Pascha. And so there is confusion in our hearts. We remember back to the time when Christ was first tempted by Satan, right after his baptism, when he went into the wilderness, and Satan tempted him, took him up onto a mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and said, if you bow down to me, you will have power over all of this. You will have, he meant, a worldly power. You will have exactly that power that the people who greeted Jesus with these cries of Hosanna and Alleluia were greeting him in hope of his taking that kind of power and using it to rule the world in a way that made sense to them, because they wanted that kind of a ruler. But Jesus told Satan, away with you. And on this day, when Christ enters the holy city, again, he is steadfast in his rejection of that temptation. It might be called the last temptation of Christ. In another way, we can't help but think that all of the greetings of Hosanna and Alleluia that are given to Christ as he enters the city in this cacophony, this chaos, are a mockery. A mockery by Satan against him, showing him that this is the kind of ruler that the people desire. This is the kind of satisfaction and gratification that we desire. The satisfaction of our desires, not their destruction. He comes to put their power to death, but the people are held in bondage to those very passions. And in spite of that fact, throughout the coming week, Christ will maintain his humility. He does not respond to any of the provocations, the worst of the provocations that people who love and believe in this world as the only truth, the only reality, throw at him one after another, abuse him in every possible way. And during this coming week, as we attend these services and hear the words that recount the passion of Christ, we should look within ourselves and see if in our hearts there is simply a misery at the lack of worldly justice, or is there an inspiration to joy at a holy justice that God is using in order to transform the world? Because these events are the event that initiated the possibility of our own transformation. If we reject our love of the world and instead love the divine justice of God that transforms our hearts by a repentance that inspires us to say an alleluia that is not a glorification of one that we hope will affirm the values of the world, but a penitential alleluia. There is perhaps a key to all of this that is given to us by Father Thomas Hopko, of blessed memory now, when he pointed out to us that of the three times that we as Orthodox Christians use the word I during the Divine Liturgy, one of them is when we say the Creed. Everyone must say the Creed for themselves. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And the other time, I believe and I confess, which is what we say before we go to communion. It is a declaration of our confession before we receive communion. And we call ourselves the first of sinners, as St. Paul did, because each one of us sins for ourselves. Each one of us confesses our love of God and our belief in Him, not in the world, for ourselves. We can't be part of the we that we sing the rest of the time, except for these three occasions, except by first saying this I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I believe and I confess that I am the first of sinners. And the third time comes in our celebration of the very first communion in the upper room. During that service on Thursday morning, rather than singing the cherubimic hymn, we sing a hymn that uses I in a special way that is perhaps a key to this entire week. We sing, of thy mystical supper, O Son of God, accept me today as a communicant, for I will not speak of thy mystery to thy enemies. Neither like Judas will I give thee a kiss, but like the thief will I confess thee. Remember me, O Lord, in your kingdom. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. It is a penitential alleluia. Who of us has not kissed Christ and betrayed him? All of us come to confession because we have betrayed Christ. We kiss him, we know him. We know his salvation like no other people on the face of the earth. And yet with this truth, we betray him by thought, by word, by deed. And when we say alleluia, it means something different than the people who were confused as to the identity of Christ when they said alleluia. When we say alleluia, it is a worship of the God that we know that we have kissed and betrayed, but he forgives us. And that's how we're different from Judas. Not because we don't betray him, but Judas did not repent. We repent. When we say alleluia, we are giving praise to the one who is transforming our hearts, who is giving us a new heart by way of passing through the shadow of death as he passed through that shadow, and it should inspire us not simply cause us to respond, how terrible it is for poor Jesus who is being treated so badly, how unjust, how terrible those people who are doing this to him. We are the ones who continue to cause him suffering, and he forgives us, and we offer to him the highest praise. Hallelujah. Because he is transforming us by this passion that we see him passing through this week. We are not putting on a play for ourselves. We are not observers at the theater listening to something that has nothing to do with us as we hear and participate in all of the hymnography and readings of this coming week. These events are the events of our own internal spiritual lives. And we should be aware of where our hearts are during the celebration and the glorification of God this week. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.